So today's September 24th, 2024. Supernatural Christian podcast. Typically I post other people's content on here that's impacted me, scriptures, sermons, praise and worship. I've been doing declarations. And in the season I'm in right now, I just feel like to stir the fire in my own life. I'm in a season right now where I need to continue to stoke the fire within, right? When I'm in an environment that's not necessarily as hot as it used to be, if that makes sense, right? Sometimes you're in a house, you're in a church where the spirit is moving heavily. There's a great anointing on the house, on the pastor there. And so when you're in that atmosphere, you're constantly like just, it's just burning, 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 right? And so when we shift environments, it's important, if you're not in a house like that, to stoke the fire within your life, that personal fire, right, of the Holy Ghost within your life. You have to walk in the Holy Ghost for yourself. You can't have your pastor walk that out for you, or you can't have his anointing like be your fill up for the week, and that's how you're going to exist, right? You're gonna go and just get a touch, and you're gonna go back to the way things were before or whatever, right? And I'm very familiar with that because I grew up in Pentecost. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, an amazing church where the Spirit of God moved. But much of my younger life, I wasn't learning to walk in the Spirit for myself. I was basically like a Holy Spirit junkie, right? I would go to church. I would get my fix for the week. I would feel better about my sin or whatever was going on. And then I would continue to walk in the flesh while coming into the house of God and having great encounters with the Holy Ghost. It is a recipe for disaster. It is a recipe for chaos in your life when you do that. If you do not submit to the purging, if you do not submit to the consecration, if you do not like go through that process, you're in for a world of hurt because the enemy will try to tear you to shreds as well, right? He's going to bring condemnation on you. So you're constantly yo-yoing back between condemnation, the grace of God, the moving of the Holy Spirit. God has called us to be the same person in the church that we are out on the street, right? And when there's a disparity there, then that means, okay, there's character work to be done. There's things that he wants to purge out of us, right? And so I say all that just to say this is in the season, the Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony and loved not their lives unto death. I just want to talk a little bit about God in this season and continue to stoke that fire. Because when I talk about God, when I talk with people about God, that fellowship with the saints, it does something, something happens in the spiritual realm, right? There's a shared connection. There's a shared kindred spirit and a sharpening that happens even remotely, even though you're listening to this remotely right now, because I'm talking about the things of God and we're both brothers, sisters in Christ, right? Because we connect and we talk about our Savior, there's a sharpening that happens. There's a fire, right, that will continue to be stoked when we talk about those things. So that's pretty much why I'm doing this right now, is I want to talk about God. I want to talk about the things of God and just basically brag on him a little bit and proclaim his goodness, proclaim his work, share some insights, share what God's been doing in my life, what some of the things I've seen, some of my experiences, and just, kind of share what God is doing. So today, before I go much further, I'm going to open up in prayer. Just agree with me right now that the Holy Spirit's going to do something. I don't know what. Look, I don't know what this is. Like, I'm just doing it. So, Holy Ghost, my friend, I invite you into this conversation today. Lord God, I pray you say what it is you want to say. Lord God, I pray you reveal what it is you want to reveal. Lord, I ask right now by the power of your Holy Ghost, Lord God, Father, pour your love out on the people. God, there's about 200 subscribers to this podcast. I don't know the level of activity right now, but God, I pray right now, each and every person, that listens to this, Father God, I pray for something special to happen to them in the spiritual realm, Lord God, Father, that you would pour out your spirit upon them, that you'd pour out your love, that they would come in deeper contact with you. So, Father, I surrender this to you today in the name of Jesus, and I pray that your will would be done. Thank you, Jesus. So I, you know, this week I've been reading some of the Proverbs. I've been diving into the word Psalm 91. It's wild. On Sunday, a woman of God that's had a big impact on my life, we were talking about Psalm 91. She, you know, but this is before the weekend. She's basically saying Psalm 91, like you need to get in that scripture for your family, for you, for your family, and begin to soak in that, right? So I began to read that. I'd have my wife read it, my son read it. We'd read it together. I read multiple different versions of it, and then I recorded a quoting of Psalm 91 in both, I think it was the Passion Translation and the King James Translation, to music, and it was just powerful. And so this Sunday, the home church that I've been a part of in Kansas City, my pastor also touched on Psalm 91 right at the same time. And so it was just confirmation. Wow, God is saying something right now about the secret place in my life. It's like a protection. It's a covering. It's like, you know, sometimes you go through a season with great spiritual breakthrough, great things happen, and then like the enemy tries to come at you with situations, circumstances, and he tries to do a 1-2 punch on you, right? And I believe it's just one of those seasons where God is saying, okay, I'm taking you into the secret place. I'm taking you into this place where it's me and you, right? It's me and you. We're going deeper. I'm healing you. I'm restoring you. And I've just had a lot of just amazing experiences. But this Psalm 91 thing is, it's just really resonating with my spirit. Because there's conditions for this level of protection that it talks about in Psalm 91, right? It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So it's basically disclosing right there, it's the ones that dwell in this place that receive these benefits, right? And so I'm going to take a moment. We're going to go through this. I'm going to go through Psalm 91 with you. I'm going to do Passion Translation. I'm probably going to do multiple translations and just break some things down, share kind of with you what's been on my heart, what God's been saying, and just, you know, take a look at this. So when we look at the King James Version, Psalm 91, the first thing we see here is he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So in Psalms 91, the phrase Most High, the translation of the Hebrew word here, Ilion, the terms used to reference God's supreme authority and exalted position over all creation. So it conveys the idea that God is above all powers, rulers, and forces in the world. So that context of Psalm 91, it emphasized God's sovereignty and protection over those who seek refuge in Him. So the Most High here is paired as it's Ilion, right? It's paired with Almighty, which is also Shaddai, right? If you look at the Passion Translation, they basically say Shaddai. It's further reinforcing the power and majesty of God as a protector. So it's Most High and Almighty together, right? The Most High term used there, it doesn't refer to a mountain, but rather it's a title for God emphasizing his supreme authority and exalted status. The phrase is a metaphor for God's supreme power and protection, not a reference to a physical place like a mountain. Mountains are sometimes used symbolically in the Bible to represent stability, permanence, or a place of closeness to God, as seen like with Mount Zion or Mount Sinai. But the term Most High here is used to describe God himself as the ultimate source of refuge and security for those who trust in him. So in this verse, shelter of the Most High, it refers to the divine protection God offers rather than an actual mountain or physical location. And there's a reason why I looked this up, right? Because in verse 2 here, it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. So the fowler is a hunter, right? Going after the birds, going after birds, doves. You know, I looked this up in David's time, the closest mountain to him would have been Mount Zion. And because Almighty is referred to, the Most High is referred to there, it made me think of a mountain, right? And I believe there is a correlation there. And the reason I say that is this, is when those fowlers go out to hunt, there's basically in that region, it would be like, I believe a rock dove is one of the things that they might hunt. The mountain is more of a sacred place. It wouldn't be like a typical place to hunt. But at a certain time of the day, when the sun goes behind the mountain or when it's at a certain level, what would happen is the shadow of that mountain would be cast. And so those doves would blend in with the rocks. They would blend in with the terrain. And so the fowler would have a difficult time seeing them, right? So I'm not necessarily saying that this is what the scripture refers to, but I find it an interesting coincidence that we see the Most High used here. And then this kind of thing that happens, right, with the hunters not being able to see a bird on the terrain at a certain time of day because they blend in with their surroundings. They blend in with the Most High, with that mountain, right? So when you're next to God, when you're next to your Father, when you're next to Abba and you're in that close place with him, what happens is you blend into the environment with him. That secret place is because you're close to him. You like the landscape, you become one with the landscape of your Father, and the enemy cannot decipher. He cannot discern. We also know that light is a thing, right? The Bible says a light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not yet understood it. God represents light. When you're close to him, there's a greater light. There's a greater power, right, that's present. And I believe in the spiritual realm. When you're in that anointing and in that glory, the light is so bright, the enemy can't even see you or discern you, right? And so we talk about the shadow of the Almighty, but in reality, that shadow is a light shade. It's literally the glory covering you to cover you, right? It says, he shall cover thee with his feathers in verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So the term feathers is used, or the word feathers is used here, and then followed by under his wings, right? And this is what I find interesting that I didn't realize. My father actually told me about this a while back, but there's something in the Jewish tradition, right? There's tassels basically on part of their garment that they call wings, right? It's the corners of the garment. The wings are referred to as the corner of the garments. The Hebrew word corners of the garments in Numbers, which is kanaf, it means wings. In Jewish tradition, the four corners of the prayer shawl are seen as symbolic of God's protection, similar to the image of being under his wings. So the scripture here more than likely is referring to that piece of garment, right, that was worn. Like when the woman with the issue of blood went to touch Jesus, she probably more than likely touched that part of his garment, right? The wings, underneath the wings, right? That protection, that healing comes. And so it's just basically, it's a sign of authority, right? It's represented the heavens of God's divine authority. Like when they looked at the tassels, they remember God's law and their covenant relationship with him, right? So those tassels, those wings represent the covenant between us and God. That's why it had so much power. When she touched his garment, she came in contact with the covenant between God and the people, right? It's basically holy. It's a sign of holiness and consecration. I was talking about consecration earlier, but by wearing these tassels, the Israelites were consecrating themselves to God, marking themselves as set apart from him. How much have we lost this today? Are we really setting ourselves apart? Is there something, is there anything about us that sets us apart, right? Or do we just look and act like the world? I believe God is looking for people in this day and age that will set themselves apart once again. When we consecrate, when we start consecrating ourselves, we should look a little bit different. We should come out and apart from among them, right? If you want that Psalm 91 experience, if we really want to go into the secret place, if we want to engage with that covenant under his wings, if you want to get that covenant, if you want to get that covenant connection, we've got to be consecrated. We got to come out. We got to be separate. It symbolized their commitment to live according to God's law. And look, I know we're no longer under the law. We're under the grace, but without work, without faith, works is dead, right? But there's still works, right? So meaning we're supposed to live a certain way. We're supposed to live in holiness, not out of a sense of law, but out of sense that the law is written on our heart. So we want to walk that out, right? So I find it interesting, in that next verse, after it says, under his wings thou shalt trust, and this is still verse 4, it says, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. This is interesting. It references shield and buckler. So the buckler is a type of shield. In ancient times, it was typically a small round shield used in combat to protect a warrior from attacks, right? So it was often like strapped to the arm and used for close combat. It was a form of quick defense, essentially. The buckler was a smaller than a traditional full body shield, allowing for like a greater mobility, right? So the significance of the buckler in Psalm 91 is protection and defense. The buckler represents God's protective power. Just as a buckler shields a warrior from harm in battle, God's truth acts as a protective force for believers. The verse promises that God's faithfulness and truth provide a form of defense against the dangers and threats of life. It's also a metaphor of God's faithfulness, right? It's symbolic of God's faithfulness. It represents God's reliability and steadfastness in shielding and protecting those who trust in him. So when they're combined together, shield and buckler together, the mention of both shield and buckler reinforces the idea of complete protection. The shield would refer to a larger, more general type of defense and protection, while the buckler would symbolize more specific or personal protection in close combat. So together they signify that God offers comprehensive security to his people. So guys, there's people that will say, well, is Psalm 91, is it really complete protection? Like, is this a fail-safe thing? I would say yes, because shield represents complete protection, but then buckler is very specific defensive protection on top of that. So those two combined, basically, God is saying, I've got you covered. I've got you covered in the large general scope of things. And then in your very personal combative stuff that happens, I've got you covered too. He's with you basically in both those situations. His faithfulness is there. So I believe Psalm 91, when you enter into that secret place, this is complete protection. This is the protection package. This is security 9,000. This is the 9,000 package. Like, this is the best of the best. And I'm making that up. I don't know what the security package would be called, but I'm just saying, like, imagine the best security package you could buy. I mean, guys, look at what's happened right now in the season with a former president of the United States. They're even having a hard time protecting him with secret service. Like, even the president doesn't have this level of protection, right? God will cover you. And he is covering Trump. I believe that he's covering him. That's why he hasn't been taken out with all this crazy stuff going on. But the point is, it's that complete protection that God offers. So let's go on from here in verse 5. It says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. So the terror by night. This is interesting. The terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, right? The terror by night here, it appears to be that it refers to the unknown dangers and fears that can arise in the darkness, whether literal or metaphorical. So in ancient times, the night was often associated with greater vulnerability because of the lack of visibility, right? We didn't have the lighting. They didn't have all the stuff they have now. They had torches, basic light. Nighttime was a dangerous time. It increased the risk of attack or danger. So spiritually, it can represent the fear of the unknown, anxieties, spiritual attacks that come during dark times of darkness or uncertainty, right? So the psalmist is reassuring believers that they do not need to be afraid of these fears because God is their protector both day and night. Now, the arrow that flieth by day, this represents the dangers that are more evident and visible, right? The things like warfare, physical attacks, or outward threats. The arrow could also be seen as symbolic of sudden dangers and calamities that strike unexpectedly, whether they are physical, emotional, spiritual. So this line promises protection from the visible and direct threats that one might face during the day, symbolizing God's constant watchfulness and defense against all forms of attack. How many of you guys know, as a believer, this is spiritual warfare? If you're walking in the Holy Ghost and you're walking with God, you better believe you've got arrows headed your way. You better believe that there is terror by night that wants to come your way. It is so important that we learn to get into the secret place. I'm going to get a hold of this for my life. I can't afford to be walking around and having arrows coming at me in the daytime and piercing me and hitting me. I mean, guys, when I tell you, when you go deeper with the Lord and you begin to press into the Spirit, you're going to get spirit. You will get spiritual attacks. Stuff will happen. You'll literally feel manifestations. Like when it talks about arrows coming at you in the spiritual realm, that's literally what weaponry is used in the spiritual realm. It will hit you. If you're an intercessor, if you've gone to that place, you will know. Like in the spiritual realm, when it talks about daggers, arrows, all this stuff, this is the type of stuff that you are going to face. Just become an intercessor, go deeper with God, and start praying in the Holy Ghost and go deeper, and you're going to find out you're going to get some resistance at times, right? And so it's important that we go to that Psalm 91 place so that we do not just get ripped apart by the enemy, right? He wants to damage you. He wants to cause harm. He wants to create wounds, right? And so in the spiritual realm, we got to have our armor on. We have to have the shield and buckler, but when we're in that secret place, it's like all encompassing protection. There's nothing that's going to touch you, right? So when things get bad, when the pressure is on, it's time to get, we got to get into the secret place. So verse 6 says, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. So in verse 6 here, the pestilence that walketh in darkness, or the destruction that wasteth at noonday, this is again, this is the same type of thing as we're just basically talking about the unseen attacks and the stuff that just happens right in front of you, right? In verse 7, it says, a thousand shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. So here, when it says a thousand shall fall at thy side, right after it says 10,000 at thy right hand. Now, why is this significant? Because first it says a thousand shall fall at thy side, then 10,000 at thy right hand. Well, the right hand was significant. The Bible talks about in scripture about God's righteous right hand. The right hand is often associated with strength and power. It emphasizes the magnitude of danger and or calamity surrounding the believer, right? So it paints a picture of massive disaster or battle where there's large numbers of people falling or being destroyed on all sides. Despite the proximity and intensity of the danger, the believer remains untouched, right? And so the thousand at thy side is basically, that's like, difficulties, stuff happening like a plague, right? But then when it says 10,000 at thy right hand, that's all out chaos. I mean, that's a genocide. That's straight up war. That's basically like all your neighbors are dying around you. I mean, this is serious, right? So, the verse, it's a promise for God's supernatural protection for those who trust in Him. The confidence in God's protection for believers in this verse, it serves as a reminder to trust God in power and faithfulness. Even in overwhelming situations where others may fall, God's protection is sure. So we have to have freedom from fear, right? So the imagery of these thousands falling around you without being harmed instills a sense It instills a sense of peace, right? If we know we're going to survive when everybody else is not, that's a peace that you can hold on to. This is an insurance coverage. Psalm 91 is basically a promise. Look, if you're in this place, it ain't happening. So we need to enter into the rest of Psalm 91 and know that we're there, and then know that we know that we know that God has us covered, right? And then when inflation happens, when election seasons happen, when all this chaos is happening around you, the bank account's looking empty, it doesn't look like you're gonna make it. You know, right? We know that if 10,000 fall at your right hand, at that place of power, God's protection is with you. He's got you. He's got you covered. So in verse 8, only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. It's interesting that it says reward here in response to the wicked instead of punishment, right? So the reason why reward here is used is because divine punishment, it represents divine punishment. When something is coming from a divine perspective, the scales of God's justice system comes out as a reward. Whether it's good or bad, like this is his divine, this is either his divine judgment or his divine blessing. It is the reward that you earn, right? It's just that reward is much different if you're the wicked. It's not a positive. On verse 9, it says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. So it's interesting here because in verse 9, the writer, a lot of people attribute it to David. It could be Moses. It's probably one of the two. It says in verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. So he's doing a comparison and contrast and saying, look, you made the Lord your habitation. He's my refuge too, right? He's making a comparison and contrast and saying, look, because you entered into the same covenant with me, we're in this together, right? You're going to reap these same rewards that I reap. You're going to receive the holy rewards, divine protection, not divine judgment. So verse 10, neither shall, or there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So, and I think this is the most crucial part of Psalm 91 that we really need to pay attention to is because in verse 11 here, he says, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Guys, this is a security detail. This is 24/7 security detail, right? To keep means to guard or protect. These angels are assigned to safeguard believers in all thy ways, meaning throughout the course of their life and all their different paths and circumstances they encounter. The phrase suggests that God's protection through his angels is not limited to specific times or situations, but is comprehensive, covering every area of life, both physically, spiritually, whether in moments of danger or in daily activities. So this is a promise that he's going to protect you. This is insurance coverage. And so I would say yes, if you have that covenant, if you have that deep covenant relationship with him and you've gone to that place, to the secret place, and you're abiding there, guys, you are going to live out your days. No, he's got you. He's got you. But it's conditional. This is why, I believe things to happen to Christians before their times, and we don't know, someone gets hurt or a car accident or whatever. Yes, believers die. But why is it that some have supernatural, like divine intervention, and some don't? You can't be like, oh, well, God loves them more than the other person. What's different about the two? The difference is the covenant that they've entered into and the depth that they've entered into. They're closer in proximity to their Father. So it's interesting here in verse 12, it talks about the angels bearing thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. This is referring to even smaller injuries and smaller things. God is literally promising that these angels will protect you from stubbing your toe, right? How many of you have stubbed your toe recently? Well, maybe we need to get to the place where instead of stubbing your toe, your foot like just supernaturally shifts. That's what God's, that's the level of protection that he wants to take you to when you enter in that Psalm 91. He wants to protect you in every single way. In verse 13, it says, "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon thou shalt trample under feet." This is the King James Version. So treading upon here, this phrase indicates position of victory and authority over these dangerous creatures. To tread upon something suggests that the believer has power over it, implying not just survival, but dominance over threats, right? We know what the lion is. It's a symbol of strength and ferocity and danger. It also, in biblical literature, it represented powerful adversaries or threats, so making their presence significant in the context of protection, right? Adder is a type of snake, often associated with venom and danger. Snakes in general symbolize deception and peril. The adder represents the hidden dangers that can harm, right? The dragon, in biblical terms, is often seen as representation of chaos, evil, or even Satan himself. It's a symbol of significance, of power, and menace. The ability to trample the dragon underfoot simplifies or signifies triumph over ultimate evil or chaos. So that's powerful. Literally, he's promising you that you're going to overcome. You're going to overcome victory over adversaries, right? Authority and power, the language used to emphasize the believer's authority over dangerous creatures, symbolizing faith in God empowers individuals to overcome spiritual and physical threats, right? So the spiritual application here is also conquering fears and danger, God's empowerment, victory in spiritual warfare. We were talking about that earlier. The reference to the dragon can also be understood in a spiritual context, indicating victory over evil forces. Believers are assured that through God's power, they can triumph over spiritual adversaries and chaos. So, verse 14, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Verse 15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. See that last part there in 15? He not only promises to deliver you, but also honor you. Wow. Guys, this is covenant relationship. This is a very, very special form of connection with our Father. Psalm 91, it's as deep, it's deep. So honor in that case, right? It could be a recognition of their faith, an elevation of their status, a blessing as a result of their trust in God. It highlights the idea that God values those that seek him, right? You want to get elevated with God. You want to go deeper in your faith. You want to go greater in your status in the kingdom. You got to get into Psalm 91, right? He will elevate you. There's promises. This is his elite people, right? We've got to get to that place. And I really think that this is an exercise. It's not just like, oh, I pray Psalm 91. This is a literal attempt. I'm going to get close to God. I'm going to get close. I'm going to get in his presence. I'm going to get so close to him that I can feel his presence on a regular, you know what I'm saying? Like this is an intentional way to go about our faith and spirit walk, is we're intentionally going after that and entering into that place. I don't think it's just something that automatically happens. Obviously, as we go deeper, right, I believe that's sustained. But to get into that place is definitely an intentional choice that I want to walk into the Holy of Holies. And of course, the best part of all this, verse 16, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Guys, he's promising us long life here. I mean, there's no reason any of us should go early if we're getting into Psalm 91. We will live out our days. We'll do everything we're called to do. So I am learning more, like I want to get into this place. Guys, I can't say I'm there. I can't say I'm in Psalm 91 yet, but I want to get there. That's why I'm doing this study. That's why I'm getting revelation, because I want to understand, how do I get so close to my Father that literally all these promises become mine, right? I believe we have them through faith, right? But it's also that covenant. Have we entered into that covenant? Have we consecrated? Have we separated ourselves? So I just want to challenge you today. Think that through. You know, are we really consecrated? Are we really surrendered? Is this a lifestyle, or is this something we're doing on Sunday and maybe Tuesday and maybe, you know, a little Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, we kind of just like it's a lifestyle, right? Walking it out day by day, walking in the Holy Ghost, walking in the Spirit, walking in His presence. So I'd like to say a prayer today for anybody that's listening to this, that we get consecrated at a deeper level and that we enter into this place that He has for us, because it is a blessed, it's an amazing place. I want to be there. I want to dwell there. So Father, I thank you right now for everyone that's listened to this today. And I pray, Lord God, by the power of your Holy Ghost, Father God, draw us deeper with you. God, I pray, give us more revelation on Psalm 91 to enter into that secret place with you, Lord God. I long to be there. Father God, bring us to that place, Lord God, ultimate protection, provision, God, honoring us the whole nine yards, long life, Father God. I want everything on that list. So, Father, I ask right now, help us to go deeper. Help us to connect deeper with you, to go to that place, the covenant relationship, Lord God, to touch your wings, the corners of your garment, and say, yes, I come underneath your authority, your presence. You are my overseer. I make you my everything, right? And so I just thank you today, God. I pray you do something special for each and every person that's listened to this. And God, I bless your name, and I thank you, Father, for everything you're doing and everything you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I appreciate you spending this time with me today to listen to me go on about this and just experience a little bit of Psalm 91 and go deeper. I'm going to try and do more of this stuff here in this coming season. Just again, I'm stoking the fire in my life. I want to talk about it. I want to challenge myself. I want to go deeper, and I want you to go deeper too. There must be less of us so there can be more of Jesus. Amen. There's got to be less of us so there can be more of Jesus. So I thank you so much. Again, this is Supernatural Christian Podcast, and I'll be back soon with whatever else the Spirit puts on my heart. So take care, guys. God bless.